Layla Nahavandi is here with us, all the way from Germany. This is a big deal for you to be here. You lead a worldwide global missions movement called the Burning Hearts Movement, and it's to reach unreached people groups in the world. Not only does she lead this, she travels the world and preaches everywhere. She also has two master's degrees, getting ready to be done with her doctorate in theology. This is an amazing, impressive woman. Would you guys stand to your feet and give Layla Nahavandi a huge Citizen Church welcome.
Come on, Citizen Church, if you love Jesus in the house today, let's lift up a shout of praise. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is in the room today, and He is ready to move with power, with healing, with freedom. Oh, Jesus, we thank You. We thank You. We thank You for what You're doing in this place today. Oh, can we just lift up our hands to the Lord right now, Citizen Church, those who are watching over at North. Whoo! Heaven is in the house today. Holy Spirit, we thank You for Your anointing in this place. We thank You, Lord, that You are here with us. We thank You, Lord, that You see and You know every single person under the sound of my voice today. God, I thank You that it is no coincidence that we have come into Your house, into Your presence. But God, I thank You that You have set up this meeting to meet with us, to encounter us, to transform us. We pray that healing would be released in bodies that need healing today. We pray that freedom would be ours for those who are bound today. We pray that salvation would be released over lives that are lost today. And we pray, God, that You would come and move like only You can move. Holy Spirit, come have Your way in this place, we pray. In Jesus' mighty name, every single person in the room and online said, amen, amen, amen. You can go ahead and take a seat, Citizen Church. Wow, thank you, worship team. Can we give it up for our incredible worship team leading powerfully all day? You guys are just amazing. Ooh, we got a tambourine in the house. I love it. It's such an honor to be with you guys here at Citizen Church. I've had the absolute privilege of ministering at your women's conference, Flourish. Any ladies who are at Flourish this week? Come on, God just moved so powerfully. And I want to give a huge shout out and a thank you to Pastor Mandy and the Flourish team. Can we just thank everyone who was involved in putting this on? We have had such a powerful weekend. God has moved in great power. As we said before, 60 ladies have moved from darkness to light, have given their life to Jesus. That's something to praise God about. And over 24,000 women in Ethiopia whose lives have been absolutely changed forever. And so praise God for what He is doing in this house. Praise God for what He did through Flourish Conference. And it is my great honor to be opening the word here today at Citizen Church. If we've never met before, my name is Layla Nahavandi. I'm half Iranian, half Irish. I was born in England, spent my childhood in New Zealand, spent most of my life, 25 years in Australia, and last year I moved to Germany. I live on the border of France and Switzerland, so I like to tell people that I am the United Nations. And I was actually born into a Muslim family, wasn't born Christian, but in the early 90s, Jesus radically saved my family. He saved us, healed us, set us free. My dad had a radical encounter with the Holy Spirit. Yeah, we can give God some praise for that. Woo. I love the gospel. I love the power of the Holy Spirit. And it is my great honor to open the word. But you know, usually when I meet people for the very first time, if I'm here in America and I'm maybe going out to a restaurant or I'm in a shop or something like that, people will hear my accent and they will immediately ask me, where are you from? And usually when I'm in America, I know that they're asking because they've heard the accent. So my immediate response to them is, oh, I'm from Australia. You know, give them the most Aussie accent I can. But I get the same question in Australia. When I'm in Australia, people will ask me, where are you from? Because they know I'm not a typical Aussie. They see my name, my features, what I look like. They're like, I know she's not from here. And so they ask me where I'm from. It's usually a difficult question to answer because I'm half Iranian, half Irish, you know, born in England, raised in New Zealand, come from Australia, all that sort of stuff. And so usually when I'm in Australia, I say something like, oh, my dad's Iranian. And they go, oh, okay, you're Iranian, you're Persian. That's great. Usually when people ask me this question, they're saying there's something about the way that you talk, the way that you act, the name that you carry, the way that you look, that is not typical of the place where we are. It's not typical of this city. It's not typical of this nation. And so therefore, I can tell that you must not be from here. You must be from somewhere else. And you know what? In the same way, Citizen Church, the Bible tells us that we are citizens of heaven. We are in this world, but we are not of this world. So everywhere that we go, in the way that we talk, in the way that we walk, people should be saying of us, hey, there's something about you that is not like this place. It's not like this world. There's something about the joy that you have, the peace that you carry, the faith that you show, the way that you talk, the way that you walk, that's not typical of this place. Therefore, I can tell that you must be from somewhere else. The title of my message tonight, today is Citizens of Heaven. Because at Citizen Church, I believe we need to know who we are as citizens of heaven. The Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20, but we are citizens of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. C.S. Lewis put it this way. He said, if I find in myself desires that nothing in this world can satisfy, I can only conclude that I was not made for this world. I believe it's important for us to unpack what it means to be citizens of heaven today, because when we know who we are, where we come from, and where we're going, we begin to live differently. We begin to think differently. We begin to walk differently and talk differently and act differently. We start to live from heaven's perspective. We don't live from earth to heaven, but from heaven to earth. And so as citizens of heaven, we need to know who we are and where we're going. I'd love to unpack this theme of being citizens of heaven today. And our main text is going to come from Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 13. If you have a Bible with you, I would love it if you could turn with me, please, to the book of Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 13 to 16. It says this: all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had the opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. And therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. You know, the book of Hebrews was written to a group of people who had converted from Judaism to Christianity. They had converted to Christianity. They had found the way, the truth in their life. They had encountered Jesus, the gospel, and they had left Judaism and they had started to follow Jesus. But when they started following Jesus, something terrible happened. Persecution broke out in the city where they were. And as persecution began to reign, people started to lose family members and started to have terrible situations and circumstances. People started to go missing and persecution became very, very intense. The persecution died down and everyone took a breather and everyone was like, okay, cool, we can get on with our lives. We can, you know, start to follow Jesus and we can start to live out this Christian walk, when all of a sudden, again, persecution started to break out. By this time, people had lost their will to follow Jesus, and these people who had come from Judaism started to go back to their old life. They started to give up. They started to quit. They thought it was too difficult, too hard to follow Jesus. And so they thought, what does it matter? I'm just going to go back to my old religion, to my old life, to my old way of doing things. So this book was really written to people who are on the verge of giving up on their faith. Maybe in this room today and watching over at North as well, maybe we're not on the brink of giving up on our faith in Jesus and throwing in the towel today, but I'm sure all of us know what it feels like to feel like we want to give up. To feel so pressured and so overwhelmed by the circumstances and situations that we're walking through that we think, hey, it would just be easier if I didn't do things this way. Maybe in certain areas of our lives, doing things God's way and waiting on God's timing and doing things according to the Word of God has got difficult. Maybe it's been wearying for us, and so maybe there's thoughts that are running through our minds, maybe I should just do this my way. Maybe I should take my shortcut. Maybe I should go back to doing things in my own strength and power. This book of Hebrews was written to people who are about to give up, people who needed encouragement in their faith. And we see that the book of Hebrews has this chapter called Hebrews chapter 11. And lots of people like to refer to this chapter as the Hall of Fame of Faith in the Bible. I don't know if you like sports or music or arts or whatever you like to get into as a hobby. Every single one of us knows what a Hall of Fame would look like. The writer to the Hebrews makes chapter 11 his Hall of Fame of Faith. And so he starts to go down this Hall of Fame of Faith and he points out all of these heroes of the faith throughout the Bible. These saints, these heroes who didn't give up but pressed through to receive the promises of God by faith. He starts to point out people like Moses, people like Joshua and Abraham and Samson and Gideon. He talks about their stories and how when they held onto God and they held onto faith, they received what God had promised them. And in this particular passage of scripture that we're reading today, we see that the writer to the Hebrews, he stops. As he's walking down the Hall of Fame of Faith, he pauses. And it's almost as if he just takes a look at every single character. He looks at their lives and he reflects on them and he says, hey, there's one thing that every single one of these people has in common. There's one thing that unites every single one of these saints of the faith. He said, every single one of them knew that they were in this world, but they were not of this world. Every single one of these people of faith knew that this was not their home. They knew that they were awaiting a heavenly country. They knew that they had a different destination in mind. So they were able to live not from earth to heaven, but from heaven to earth. And so he stops and he mentions that they were citizens of heaven. They were people who longed for a heavenly country. There are some things that we should know about what it means to be a citizen of heaven today. The first thing that defines a citizen of heaven is that citizens of heaven have a new king and kingdom. Acts chapter 17 and verse 6 to 7, it says, and when they could not find them, they dragged Jason and some of the brothers before the city authorities, shouting, these men who have turned the world upside down have come here also. And Jason has received them, and they are all acting against the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, Jesus. In this passage of scripture, we see that the earliest followers of Jesus are starting to turn the world upside down. See, because the ways of the kingdom are not the ways of the world. And so when they start preaching that there is another king and there is another kingdom, they're healing the sick, they're freeing the oppressed. God is moving in powerful ways everywhere that they go. And the authorities of the city are saying, these people are turning the world upside down. There should be something about your life that turns the world upside down, that turns your workplace upside down, your school upside down. We shouldn't be just going with the flow, going with the culture. We shouldn't be going with the status quo everywhere that we go. We should be turning the world upside down. We should be proclaiming that there is another king and his name is Jesus. Yeah, if you believe it, you can give him a shout of praise today. When these people were declaring that there was another king, they were getting in trouble. Because when they were declaring there was another king, they were actually going against Caesar. See, at this time period, Caesar was the king of the region. And as he was the king, people were supposed to worship him. But Christians, people who follow Jesus, would not worship Caesar. They would only worship God. And so they started to get in trouble. They started to be rebels. They started to proclaim that there was a different king. They had a new king and a new kingdom, but it doesn't stop there. We are not just subjects of a new kingdom, but the Bible says that we have been born into a royal family. When we got born again, we were born into the bloodline of Christ. When we received the blood of Jesus to save us and set us free and wash away our sin, we actually received the royal bloodline that helps us to enter into the royal family. I want you to turn to the person next to you right now and just say, "You royalty." Turn to the person on your other side and say, "You're looking at royalty." We are royalty. We are part of the royal family. Romans chapter 8 and verse 29 says, "For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified." We have been born into the royal family. Now, over in Australia, we are still part of a kingdom. You are lucky over here in America. You guys got set free a long time ago, but we were still a part of a kingdom in Australia. And so we're under the royal family in England. And there is a little boy that was born into the royal family named Prince George. He was born in 2013. And experts tell us, if Prince George simply outlives his father and his grandfather, then he will be the King of England one day. It's a pretty sweet deal that Prince George has got to be the King of England. But as far as I know, Prince George has never done anything to earn his kingdom. He has never done anything like give great advice to the Prime Minister of England or Australia or Canada or any of the Commonwealth nations. As far as I know, Prince George has never led his nation into battle as a strong king. No, the only thing that Prince George has done is be born into a royal family. He has been born into a royal bloodline. Do you know what? In the same way, the Bible tells us that we are heirs with Christ, that we are born into a royal family. There is nothing we have to do to earn our kingdom, to earn our inheritance. It's simply because of Jesus' blood. It's simply because we have been born into a royal family. Romans chapter 8 and verse 15 to 17, it says, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together with him." We are heirs of a royal inheritance. We are part of the royal family of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords today. That is good news today, that we are royalty. The second thing that we have as citizens of heaven is that citizens of heaven have a name with authority and access. Certain countries often have particular distinctive names that are attached to those countries. If you hear a certain name, you'll know probably what country that name is attached to. If I tell you there's a man named Antonio Duccio, you probably wouldn't think he was from China. You would probably imagine that he was from Italy. It sounds like an Italian name. He must have some sort of attachment to Italy. If I said the name Takashi Murakami, you would probably think that guy has probably got some sort of attachment to Japan. If I mentioned one of my distant relatives, Patrick O'Connor, you'd say, okay, that guy's got to be Irish. If I said the name Jürgen Müller, you probably think, okay, that sounds like a German name. He's got to have some attachment to Germany. Names are attached to countries. Names identify us. Names are important because they give us access and authority to whatever is attached to our name. You know, my bank account is attached to my name. My name gives me access and authority to what is rightfully mine. Do you know what? The Bible tells us that as Christians, the name of Jesus has been attached to our lives. As citizens of heaven, we have been given a name that is above every other name, that at the very mention of that name, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that He is Lord. It's the name above sickness and disease, the name above cancer, the name above circumstances and situations that we're facing today. The name above every other name is the name of Jesus. It carries all power and all authority. In Mark chapter 16 and verse 17, it says, "And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover." John chapter 14 and verse 13 says, "And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." We have a name with authority and access today. We do not need to live defeated lives because we have the name of Jesus that is above every other name. All victory is in His name, and His name has been attached to you today. The third thing we need to know about citizens of heaven is that citizens of heaven live by kingdom laws. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14 to 15, it says, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of Him." Now, I did some research about the High Court of Australia. I'm not sure if the system is exactly like the High Court here in America. But what I found out was that most of the court's work relates to hearing appeals against decisions of lower courts, other courts in the nation. They say that there's no automatic right to have an appeal heard by the High Court, and parties who wish to appeal must persuade the court in a preliminary hearing that there are special reasons to cause an appeal to be heard. Decisions of the High Court on appeals are final. There are no further appeals once the matter has been decided by the High Court, and the decision is binding on all the other courts, the lower courts throughout Australia. Do you know what? In the same way that I, as a citizen of Australia, can appeal to the High Court of Australia to overrule and overturn a ruling, a judgment, a pronouncement that might have been made by a lower court, the Bible tells us that as citizens of heaven, we can appeal to the High Court of heaven in any circumstance and situation that we might be facing today. We can appeal to the law of the Word of God when the rulings of this world, the lower courts of this world, the judgments over us say a particular report or a particular judgment. The Bible tells us we can appeal to the High Court of heaven and we can call down His law. The Bible says that His law rules supreme over the laws of the world. The fourth and final thing, I'm going to invite the worship team to join me. Fourth and final thing that we should know about citizens of heaven is that citizens of heaven have a new language and accent. Hallelujah. Come on, amen. We got a Pentecostal right there. Acts chapter 2 and verse 1 to 4, it says, "And when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound like a blowing violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire, and it separated and came to rest on each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance." The Holy Spirit enabled citizens of heaven, followers of Jesus, to speak in a whole new language. On the day of Pentecost, the Bible says that 120 people gathered together in an upper room. And the Bible says that there was 120 flames of fire in that room. There was a personal encounter, a personal baptism, a personal fire for every single person in that room. Not one person had to miss out on an encounter with the Holy Spirit. Do you know what? In the same way, I believe that when we are hungry to encounter the Holy Spirit, the fire of God has a personal encounter waiting for us. The language of heaven, the Bible says every single one of them started to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them, as the Spirit gave them the utterance. That means that this language is for all of us. This language is for every Christian, every person who receives the fire of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, can speak in this personal praise and prayer language. Paul says in the New Testament, he says, I thank my God that I speak in tongues more than you all. That would be pretty mean if they weren't able to speak in tongues themselves, right? If they didn't have access to this. But he said that to encourage them to go after this heavenly language as well, so they would experience the power of this language. Now you might be thinking today, why do I need to speak in tongues? Why do I need this heavenly language? Well, the Bible tells us when we speak in tongues, we start to build ourselves up in the inner man, in the spirit man. There is something that happens, that takes place when we start to speak in tongues, when we start to go rababa shundura, all of a sudden we don't handle our situations with an earthly mindset, with an earthly perspective, with earthly power anymore. We're starting to engage the power of the Holy Spirit, the anointing of God in everything that we do. We have been given a new language and a distinctive accent. I love that little boo on the bass there. That was awesome. We've been given a distinctive accent. And the final thing that we have been given is we have been given as citizens of heaven new rights, privileges, and liberties. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 13, it says, and you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by cancelling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. Then he set aside, nailing it to the cross. As citizens of heaven, we have been given new rights, privileges, laws, and liberties. There are benefits and laws and privileges and freedoms that come with being a citizen of a particular nation. You know what? Here in America, there are great freedoms and liberties and privileges that citizens of America have access to. History tells us that the Bill of Rights was introduced to the United States Congress in the 1780s. And the fourth president of the United States, James Madison, actually brought this law into effect in 1791. And forgive me if I'm wrong, but I would say that as an outsider looking in, it seems like Americans, they know their rights. Every time someone tries to infringe upon the rights of an American, it seems to me like Americans, they aren't having it. Like Americans are like, hey, I have freedom of assembly. I'm allowed to gather with my friends here. So you better stop telling me what to do. You better back off. You better go back to where you came from and turn around. Thank you. Bye-bye. You know? You know your rights. If anyone tries to infringe upon your rights, you tell them to go away. But as Christians, you know, the Bible says to us in John chapter 10 and verse 10, the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus said, well, I have come that you might have life and life more abundantly. I feel sometimes that we as Christians, we don't act like Americans when the enemy comes to try and steal and kill and destroy. Sometimes as Christians, when the enemy comes to infringe upon our rights in our family, our faith, our future, our finances, when the enemy comes to take away what's rightfully ours, what Jesus has purchased on the cross, sometimes we can shrink back. Sometimes we can just accept the circumstance or situation. I was thinking about this and I was thinking, hey, what would it be like if as Christians, we had a Bill of Rights as citizens of heaven that we could quote, that we could stand on, that we could proclaim every time the enemy came to try and steal what's rightfully ours in Christ? What would it look like? What would it sound like? And this is just scratching the surface. But I believe if we had a Bill of Rights as citizens of heaven based on everything that the Bible teaches us, it would look maybe something like this. I am God's possession, His child, His workmanship, His friend, temple, co-laborer, witness, soldier, ambassador, and building. I am able to do all things because He strengthens me. I am a minister and an instrument. I am His chosen, His beloved, His jewel, and His heritage. In Christ, I have been redeemed by blood, set free from sin, set free from Satan, set free from the kingdom of darkness. I have been chosen before the foundation of the world, predestined to be like Jesus, forgiven of all trespasses, washed in His blood, given a sound mind, given the Holy Spirit, accepted into God's family. I have been justified freely by His grace. I have been given all things pertaining to life. I have been given authority over the enemy. I am complete in Christ, totally in Him. I am loved eternally, kept from falling. I am not condemned. I am one with the Lord. I am seated in heavenly places. I am the head and not the tail, a light in the darkness, a city on the hill. I am the salt of the earth. I am the sheep of His pasture. I am hidden with Christ in God. I am set on a rock. I am more than a conqueror. I am born again. I am healed by His stripes, covered by His blood, sheltered by His wings, hidden in the secret place with God. I have all things in Christ, a living hope, an anchor for my soul. I have boldness and access, peace with God. In Him I can do all things. I can pray always, chase a thousand, defeat and overcome the enemy. The only things that I cannot do in Christ are to be separated from God, to perish or be lost, to be moved, to be taken out of my Father's hand, to be charged or accused or be condemned. I am a citizen of heaven, and this is my identity in Christ. If you believe it, you can give a shout of praise to the One who gave us freedom, who gave us His blood, who purchased our salvation, who gave us all of His precious promises today. Thank you, Jesus. Can we just bow our heads and close our eyes in this room today? The Bible says that we can have everything that Jesus has purchased for us only when we become citizens of heaven, only when we receive His finished work on the cross, only when we receive Jesus as our Lord and our Savior. You might be in this room today, or maybe you're over at the North Campus, and if you were to be really honest, you'd say, Layla, I don't know if I'm saved today. I don't know if I was to die tonight, whether I would go to heaven or hell. I want to tell you today that today is your lucky day. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. The Bible tells us that you can know that you know that you know that your sin has been washed away, that you are on your way to heaven and you have a relationship with God. If you're in this room today and maybe you've walked away from the Lord, maybe you feel distant from Him today and you say, hey, today I want to come back into a relationship with Him. Today is the day of salvation. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if that's you, if you say, hey, I need to pray a prayer of salvation, maybe you're over at North or you're here in the room today, just on the count of three, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I would love you to just give me a wave, and I would love to pray a prayer of salvation with you today. It's the best decision we could ever make, to surrender our hearts and our lives to Jesus. This side of eternity, there is nothing better that we could do than to surrender our lives to Jesus. So on the count of three, I'm going to invite you to lift up your hand. 1, 2, 3. Hands going up all over the room right now. Thank you, Jesus. Over on the left, in the center here, so many hands, so many people surrendering their hearts and their lives to Jesus today. Whew, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. This is the best decision we could ever make, to become a citizen of heaven, to know what it is to have our sins washed away, to be in a relationship with God. Church, could we join with these maybe 20 people around the room who have given their lives to Jesus? And can we pray this prayer of salvation with me today? Dear Lord Jesus, today I thank You for dying on a cross to save me from my sin. I acknowledge that I am a sinner in need of a Savior. And Jesus, You are the only one who could save me, who can heal me, and who can set me free. I give You my life. I give You my heart. I ask You to wash away my sin, fill me with your spirit and help me to live for you all the days of my life. I am on my way to heaven. I'm a child of God and I am a citizen of heaven. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody said, amen, amen. Can we give God a shout of praise in this place today?